For tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is a Sunday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 29th, 2011. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Fear, the Fruit of Imperfect Love.
All right, Jerry doesn't need any introduction, so we're going to get started from Lindale, Texas. Beautiful farm out in the country. She teaches the Word. She's got Word for everything she teaches, too. We've had a lot of Word this time, and so we're going to have more, and we're going to get deliverance, and we're going to be freer. I don't know how she reads this Bible, though. Wow. All right, Jerry, come on up and teach us something.
And I praise you, Lord. Thank you that blessed are our eyes because we see, blessed are our ears because we hear, because we're disciples. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, we're living in days where the prince of the power of the air speaks through the news media, speaks through the radio. Let me pray first. Lord, we just come to you in the mighty, holy, wonderful name of Jesus, and we say there's no God like you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, if you don't take this word and breathe life into it, it's just a bunch of words and it's wasting their time and mine too. Father, I pray that my words today will be like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, Lord, the shepherd. Father, I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened, that we'll know what is the hope of our calling, what is the height, width, length, and depth of your love toward us that was manifested in Christ Jesus. Father, I ask you today to deliver every person from a spirit of fear. Take the fear out of every life. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Lord, thank you that we have been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, and we take our seat in the heavenly places, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places from our lives, from this meeting. In the name of Jesus, we break your power in the mighty, holy name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Well, we're living in days to where fear is generated. I mean, every day I'll get an email or I'll get, I don't watch the news anymore because I'm on to their stirring up mess and Goliath is speaking through the news media. We think that was just back there with the story of David and Goliath, where he said, you know, I come in the name of the commander-in-chief of the armies of heaven. How he taunted the Israelis. Well, let me tell you, he's taunting the Christians today because people are being programmed by the news media. You say, well, it's okay to watch the conservative news media. Let me tell you something. To gain the confidence of the conservatives, they've got to have a conservative media. To gain the confidence of the liberals, they have to have a liberal media. Because people believe everything they say so they can put their agenda forth. And it's Goliath. He's the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The standard is the Word of God. And now when I used to get emails, I'm telling you that I might sit for an hour going, oh, dear God, any minute now. I mean, the things that they are putting out there, and I really believe the Lord showed me recently, I send out little daily thoughts of encouragement, and I was looking for a little image for my daily thoughts. And I came across one that said the Illuminati fear. And I thought, The Illuminati is generating the fear because we have authority over all the power of the enemy. And if they can get us counted, oh, God, they're going to pass Obamacare. Oh, God, they're going to come across our border. The one I got yesterday was that the guy that's over England has said that America needs to go back to their 1848 borders, which would mean that all of these southern states would go back to Mexico. Dear God in heaven. I mean, every day you see some kind of maniacal thing that would put fear on you. But let me tell you, God says He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And if the enemy can make us afraid, we cower down and we're knocked out of our position in the heavenly places and He defeats us. The only way Satan can defeat you and I is when we get into fear, which is faith in what the devil says, instead of faith in what God says. And fear can swallow you up. You know, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour," which means gulp down and swallow up. Some of you have been swallowed up by fear through the generational iniquities of the forefathers, or if you had a mother and father that was abusive, you can be swallowed up by their words. It says in Galatians 5, I think it's 5:16, "Brethren, see to it you don't bite and devour one another, lest you be consumed by one another." So you can be eaten up by a spirit of fear. One day the Lord showed me that I had people living on my farm, and I might, you know, I set out 90 fruit trees one year, and I put a drip system in, and somebody cut the drip system with the tractor. And then somebody gave us a vacuum cleaner. Somebody vacuumed up the dirt with the vacuum cleaner. Ruined it. I mean, I could just tell you over and over, use the tiller with no oil, run over this, broke that. You know, when you deal with people that are under the curse, everything they touch is cursed. And I would want to say, stupid! I didn't, but I was going, and the Lord showed me that I was biting and devouring people, and that, you know, when I started spitting people out, I went down 3 dress sizes, even though I weighed 20 pounds, I mean, I was, this was before that I lost this last week weight. But even though I weighed the same, I went down 3 dress sizes. Because in the spirit realm, you can bite and devour people. And so you can be swallowed up by a spirit of fear. And so don't listen to that stuff, because the church, American people buy everything they hear on the news. They do. And they get into fear, they cower down. The Lord showed me that if I stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the land, instead of saying, "Oh, God, please don't let them do this. Oh, God, please don't let them do that. Oh, God, please stop them." The Lord has shown me that if I just pray for their salvation, bless them with wisdom and salvation, bless them that the Lord turns their hearts as the waterways. If they get saved, that takes care of everything, doesn't it? I mean, at least changes their heart from wanting to murder somebody to be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving, to treat others the way they want to be treated. That doesn't mean we're perfect when we get saved, but it means we're a work in progress, and God begins to set out to change our heart, to be born again, to change the way we think. And so if you tell me what you're afraid of, I can tell you what your idol is. When you have an idol, you fear you won't get it if you don't have it, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. Around every idol is fear. And God says He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So fear is rooted in idolatry. Job said, what you fear comes upon you. He said, what I feared come upon me, and what I dreaded befell me. So every fear in our life has to be overcome if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. Is that right? We cannot allow fear in our life, because it's faith in what the devil tells us instead of faith in what God said. Fear, like faith, demands a response. And so what you fear comes upon you, and when you have faith believing, you have what you say. And so Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And so fear is rooted in idolatry. And, by God's grace, and it hadn't always been this way, but I don't allow fear in my life. I don't allow anger in my life. I don't allow unforgiveness. I don't allow myself to get hurt. If I do, I deal with it. If I don't repent and forgive whoever hurt me, then I've got a sore place down in my heart. And so I don't allow those things. I don't allow self-pity. When that comes, and how I don't allow it by His grace, I say, okay, Lord, where did that fear come from? How did it get there? Because something has been planted either in the generations or in how I was trained up or right now. There's been seeds of fear planted in my life. So, Lord, how do I get rid of this fear? And the Lord showed me that perfect love casts out fear. And fear is the fruit of an imperfect love. Why is it the fruit of imperfect love? Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And so if I go to God the way I deal with fear, I say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? God, if it glorify you the most for that thing to happen, let it happen. But Satan, you can't touch me in the name of Jesus. I bind you. You see, whenever I'm willing to give up my life, that's whatever I fear, whatever I think I need to keep my life comfortable or to make me happy. When I give it up, fear's gone, because when I give up the idol and let go, it works with anger. Or if I would get angry, I'd say, Lord, why'd that make me so mad? You know, I don't have an anger problem with people because I've pretty much overcome it. But if I do, I say, okay, Lord, why did that make me so mad? A few years ago, we were in church and somebody said, well, I'm just going to move to my mother's house. And I'm just going to teach school in her district because they make more money up there. And I didn't say anything, but it made me so mad. And I said, this person didn't even know it made me mad. I just said, Lord, why did that, to myself, I said, Lord, why did that make me so mad? And the Lord said she was going to do what your husband did. He moved to Dallas. And I had forgiven him for hundreds of things, but I never said, Lord, I forgive Bob for moving to Dallas. Whenever I dealt with that, she wasn't even the issue anymore. You see, if I hadn't dealt with it, I'd still be thinking, I can't believe she said that. You see what I'm saying? Don't allow fear. Don't allow depression. When we get depressed, we're just depressed because we look at life. We look at the people that have caused us to lose our expectation. We've had high expectations of people. And we look at our life. We look at what we do. We look at all these things. And if it doesn't pan out with what we think, we take a nosedive. And see, that's rooted in idolatry. Lord, I give it up. If it glorify you the most for me to not have this or not have that, so be it. The devil, you can't touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. And when I'm in the hands of God, how dare you think you can do anything to me? And so don't allow anger, fear, depression. Don't allow those things. You have to find out how they got there, though, before you can deal with them. Ish Payne, who teaches here at Lake Hamilton sometimes, he said 6 minutes, and I love this, 6 minutes of negative thinking will shut down your immune system for 20 hours or more. God tells us to be anxious for nothing fear not, over 344 times in the Word of God. It's not an option, it's a command, because it is the opposite of having faith in God. God says, without faith, it's impossible for us to please Him. Whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Ken Kimball, who was a man who recently spoke here at Lake Hamilton, he said, fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. That's so good, and it's so true. And you dwell on this, you think it, and then it gets down in your heart, and then what's in your heart comes out your mouth or back up here in your thought life. you know, while we would readily condemn somebody that's into homosexuality or adultery or fornicating or wife swapping or alcoholics or drunks, we just have a tendency to excuse our fear and just think, well, you know, that's just the way we are. God says, no, you have to deal with it to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. In Romans 12:3, well, let me say this. Faith and obedience are synonymous. Fear entered the human race when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It says they were naked and unashamed until they sinned against God. And then they went and hid themselves and made a fig leaf. And that's their idol. That's what we do. We make fig leaves to cover our feelings of inferiority, to cope with life. We make a fig leaf, and around those fig leaves is fear. And so fear has torment, but perfect love casts out fear. You know, when I can make Abraham took up Isaac up the mountain, and it didn't sound like a very good thing when God said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only son. And so he took him up the mountain. Before he went, he said, my son and I are going to go up yonder and worship, and then we'll return. So he had faith to believe that if he was going to be the father of many nations, that even if he killed Isaac, God's going to do something to resurrect him because he said it was going to be through Isaac. And so just as he began to put the knife to Isaac, God said, no, 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 Abraham, now I know you fear God. You see, he had the perfect love that casts out fear. God, you know, if you even kill Isaac, you're able to raise him up. And when I can make an altar and give up my life and say, well, Lord, you know, I feel like that this granddaughter ought to love me. Or I feel like I need to be getting more attention from so-and-so. Or, Lord, when I see that, God, that I just feel like I need this, I just say, Lord, I give that to you as a sacrifice. And that's how I've lost probably 26 pounds is when I'm tempted to eat something that I shouldn't, I say, Lord, I give that to you as a sacrifice. The other day my son called me and he said, do you have any bran muffins? And I said, no, but I'll make you some. He said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. Well, I made him some bran muffins and I ate one. And the next day I gave him all of them to him except I kept two. And so I ate one and the next morning I thought, boy, I'm going to have that with coffee. And the Lord said, you're going to give me that as a sacrifice? And I went, oh, Lord, I want that so bad. But I said, okay, Lord, I give you this as a sacrifice. I started to throw it in the trash. This was a Sunday morning. I started to throw it in the trash. And then I thought, well, I'll give it to my son. I'm on the way to church, and he's my pastor. I'll give it to him. And then there was a guy out helping me in the yard, and I just thought, I said, Elias, you want this muffin? But I'm saying, and it works with whatever. It works with bad attitudes. It works with depression. It works with anger. It works with relationships. Whatever you think ought to be going on, die to it. Let it go. Give it to God as a sacrifice. And it's easier to do it for God than it is to do it for yourself. Because if you love God with your whole heart and you've been born again, I can tell you, you love God with your whole heart. And it works. And so faith and obedience are synonymous. And God has given us all a measure of faith. Now, if you'll turn on the potter's wheel, just the first one. God's the potter and you're the clay. And he's saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he's given everybody a measure of faith to come. It takes a measure of faith to get on the potter's wheel, doesn't it? Now, it takes great faith. If you grew up with a daddy that was abusive or a sexually molesting daddy or a violent, raging daddy or mother, it takes faith to give yourself to a God you think's just like your daddy or mother, because parents model for us a picture of what God is like. God is not like our parents, but that's how we develop an image of God, and how we receive a perverted image of God is by judging our parents. Like if you grew up and not being nurtured, God don't care. He's not there. Mother and daddy don't care. God's not there. He don't love me. He don't want me. He won't communicate with me. Then we don't go to God. And this some reasons. The next one. But when we go to God, we have a measure of faith to come. But when we give up control of our life through letting go of our life, then the fruit of His Spirit is produced, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You can't drum, do the next one. You can't drum faith up like this. Some of the faith prosperity teachers say, well, you just have to gut it up and have faith. It doesn't come like that. Back up, if you will, Diane. But whenever you yield to God in submission to His Lordship, giving up your life, then faith is produced. Okay, the next one. Okay, now this, Becca, this is a person that is performance-oriented. He grew up probably illegalistic. His mother and daddy loved him based on his performance, or he thought he had to do everything perfect before he could be loved. And so when he gets saved, he tries to turn the potter's wheel. Go ahead and back it up. God is the potter. You're the clay. God is the... Back it one more time. I'm sorry. Yes. Now, this guy on the right, on this side, he looks worse, doesn't he? When I used to teach, I used to look at people and they just had this horror on their face like, God's going to throw me away any minute. I'm just too bad. I got too much junk. And the Lord gave me that. Now, it could be vice versa, but I want you to see which one yields to God. Okay? The one with the most junk, because it's the potter's job to take the junk out, right? It's the potter's job to turn the potter's wheel. It's the potter's job to add water to make the clay pliable. It's the potter's job to fashion the clay, mold the clay, make the clay, fire the clay. And it's God's job. The clay only has to do one thing, give up his life, right? Which is a picture of giving up control, a submission to his lordship. It means to choose his way over your way, his attitudes over your attitudes, his plan over your plan. His love over your hate, His sweetness over your bitterness. Whatever reigns on your parade, it means to give it up. Okay, the next one, Diane. And so this is a picture of a legalistic person that gets saved, but he thinks God wants him to do it himself. You can't do it yourself. Okay, the next one. And this is a picture of someone that won't let go of his idol. In certain parts of the country, they'll put a banana in a cage and a little monkey will put his hand in and he'll grab the banana, but his greed for the banana causes him to be stuck there and all he has to do is let go of the idol. See, your idols cause you to be entrapped and enslaved. Okay, the next one. This is a picture of somebody that had a stiff, stern, harsh, abusive mother or father, that raped them, molested them, or was just an angry, raging parent. God, I want to come to you, but I'm afraid you're going to hurt me. Okay, the next one. This one used to be me. My daddy expected me to be perfect, and I obviously wasn't. And I thought I wanted to come to God, but I had to have everything perfect. And so if I spent 2 hours in prayer, I'd spend 1 hour and 45 minutes trying to confess my sins so that I'd get good enough to come. Anybody like that? You know, the Bible says that God separates your sin as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. And if you keep on remembering the same old thing you've repented of, can I tell you it's not God telling you, it's the devil? When I learned that principle, it set me free. Now I walk in a state of repentance. The minute I sin, it's like somebody poured hot wax on me or something. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The minute you sin, you're so convicted you can't stand it. I get it right then. Don't let it go. Don't let it go a minute. Okay, the next one is you try to beat yourself up. This is a picture of holding unforgiveness. You see, it's only on the potter's wheel that God is going to do the perfecting work. One more time. Two more times. This one here is a picture of a person that doesn't like what God's doing, so he bails out. Back it up, Diane. This is a person that thinks he has to clean himself up. That song, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. It's only on the potter's wheel that I get perfected. See, all of these people, even though they may have good intentions because they think that's what God wants them to do, The potter can't fix them till they give up their life. Okay, one more time. One more time. And this is a picture of a person that every time there's a problem, they want a divorce. That was my husband. Anytime he didn't get his way, he wanted a divorce. In 10 years, he left me 3 times. The last time he left, the day before he left, I said, Lord, life is too short to live this way. Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I have issues, but I don't want to have to spend the rest of my life having to convince somebody why I want to live under the Lordship of Jesus. I said, Lord, if either fix this man and give me the right kind of marriage and fix me, or get this man out of my life. The next day I was out in the garage doing something, and he came home and he said, Jerry, I have news for you. This was the 3rd time he left. I said, what, honey? And he said, I'm leaving. I said, honey, that makes me sad because I love you. He said, that makes me sad because I love you. He didn't know how I prayed. I went in the kitchen. He went in the kitchen. I followed him in and I hugged him. I said, honey, are you sure this is what you want to do? He said, this is what I want to do. And I cried when he left. But when he wanted to come back, I said, I'm sorry, but you can't. You need help. And see, after I had prayed that way, I couldn't let him come back. You know what he said? He said, well, I'm shocked. Because I'd let him come back so many times. He said, well, I'm shocked. I said, no, you can't come back. I said, you need help. I want you to help me. I've been trying to help you for 27 years. But anyway, I'm not bitter. And he died the next year. You know, you need to walk God's way, and don't think the grass is greener. It's always greener over the septic tank. If you've lived in the country, it's not great greener. If you have issues and you're married and you have issues with your husband right now, can I tell you that if you had 50 husbands that have the same issues, because your reaping follows you wherever you go. The only way you can break that negative default is through repentance, through forgiving your mother and father for the way they trained you up. How you're trained up is how you were set at the factory. And so everybody's got their own set of stuff. Had I known some of this in earlier years, I probably would have had an easier time. But, you know, it's like you think sometimes that it's for everybody else and not you. I've said this a million times. One day he said, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I'd marry you all over again. He said, you would? Yeah, where do you think I got the material for this seminar? And not only that, but even dealing with my own stuff. Lord, this man said I don't love him. Maybe he's right. He said it so many times. Lord, what's wrong with me? Lord, what are you trying to teach me, Lord? And not only was it in observation, but it was even observing my own life and trying to make him happy. God, what's wrong with me? I need to make him happy. You know, Lord, help. And God taught me how to overcome to where I could love him in the midst of all of it. But it's not easy. But you have to give up your life. I always wanted to be married 50 years. 60 years. You know, I right now, thank God I'm a friend. You know, my ex-husband and I was married before. My first husband left me with his first secretary when my boys were 12 and 8. And that was probably the most heartbreaking thing that I've ever went through in my whole life. Even a son dying of AIDS was not as hard as that. My heart was absolutely broke. And I thank God that we're friends now. And I don't know why I started to say that. Why I was going to tell you that. Anyway, I guess I'll tell you my eHarmony.com story. I got this thing from eHarmony.com that was going to give me this free test. Now, honestly, I wouldn't have been interested. I'm not looking for a husband. I tell you, this past 10 years have been the happiest years of my life, and I'm not interested in a man or a husband except to love him as a friend. And so I thought, well, it'd be fun to take this test. It was free, and I took it, and it took about 30 minutes, and it was fun. And when it got through, that little thing spun around. It said, I'm sorry, we can't find a match for you. And so I'm thinking, Lord, nobody wants me. God fixed it. That's a true story. Recently, I was at my grandson's graduation, and they were giving him a graduation party. This was about a month ago, a bunch of friends. I was praying at the end for all the graduation class, and it was like I dropped. And there was about 100 people in that room, and they were all believers. But when I got through praying, it was like I dropped a bomb in the room. And I thought, I could just feel the rejection. Only one person, two people, and not that I was praying for anything. My son leaned over and said, Mom, thank you for that prayer. But everybody else, it was like, and afterwards, it was like I had the plague. Nobody even came around me. And then I thought, you know, even eHarmony.com don't want me. Nobody wants me. But I thank God that the people at Lake Campbell didn't want me. God's true remnant wants me. Amen. And so whenever, back that all the way back up, but whenever I die to my life, the fruit of His Holy Spirit comes through. It's His character. The resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through. And it's not my faith. It's His faith produced in me that is a gift. But see, I have to overcome the fear and the insecurities and the lies I've believed about about God that came in through having mothers and fathers that gave me a perverted image of God. And so it takes a measure of faith to come, and when I give up my life, then faith is produced and I don't have to drum it up. You can't drum it up. You can try to have faith all you want, but it doesn't work. Okay, now the one on the breaches of the heart. That's okay. You're doing great. The little cup down the bottom. Yeah, that one. Turn to the next one now. Nope. You have to get into the one that's on the breaches of the heart. You have to go back to try that one. Okay. Go back to the PowerPoint. Yeah. Yeah. The one on the breaches of the heart. No, the one that says the breaches of the heart. I can't see it from here. It's in alphabetical order. Yeah. And now the cup. Okay, the first one. Your spirit, soul, and body. Your body houses, your body houses your soul and spirit. Turn to the next one. Your soul is the place that you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's the place where you have the land that you have to possess. The soul area comes in through the generational iniquities of the forefathers and on how you were trained up. And so your body houses your soul, which is your mind, your will, emotions, and your heart. And your soul houses your spirit man. Okay, the next one. Because of the sins of the forefathers, we have doorways, places, and because of our own sin, we have doorways where the enemy has gotten ground. It's kind of like people call me sometimes and they'll say, I'm just being attacked. And I said, well, just picture this. It's like a house with all the windows open. Things fly in. And so because of the sins that have been committed against you that you've not taken to God, because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers that haven't been taken to God, there's doorways, and deliverance that's called doorways. And in each of these places, because we don't know we can go to God, go ahead and turn it, we turn to let me get up here where I can read this. Like, let's just talk about the soul realm. This is the land. This is the land that has to be possessed right here. This is where you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is the places in need of sanctification. I think Dr. Noel called those spider webs. Henry Wright calls those unsanctified areas of the heart. But the Bible calls them breaches, which means all the things they said. This is a place where your flesh has to die. Here you can respond out of the Holy Spirit, But when you have an issue here, you'll react out of the flesh. These are places where you get your button pushed. And so when you get your button pushed, don't allow that. Say, Lord, why did that make me so mad? It's no use trying to tell the person that pushed your button that he pushed your button because he don't hear you or she don't hear you. This is a place where you'll respond out of the Holy Spirit because this is the areas that are healed. These are the places that you or your forefathers either let the sun go down on your anger or turn to a false god in your pain. This is the places that you're touchy. You know, if you like when you were going with your husband, for example, you know, you didn't get your button pushed as much, but then you get married and guess what? You get your button pushed. In psychology, and I don't believe in psychology, but in psychology they call this trigger, being triggered or getting your button pushed. This is a place where Paul said, you know, I want to do good, but when I don't want to do good, I do bad. And he said, it's sin in my members. This is the sin in the members. This is a place where there's a source of evil thoughts. Evil thoughts come out of these places in the heart. Also, what's here in your heart comes out your mouth. And so you can't tame your tongue, but you can get your heart purified here. And when your heart is purified, then in this area, you're going to be speaking the right words. When your heart is pure, this will be the area that you will have a pure thought. And so when you have an evil thought, Lord, where'd that come from? How did that get there? When you're always saying something you shouldn't say, like Diane will tell you, I used to say I was fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat a million times because there were things planted down in my heart as a child. My daddy hated fat. He was in one of these retirement centers, and my daddy was such a good-looking man, even at 94. And I said, Daddy, are all those little ladies after you? He said, oh, Jerry. He said, they're all overweight, and that's all they do is eat. And now, you know, most old men in a nursing home would be running after the women, not him. He was too particular. Oh, they're too fat. And so guess what? One time he said, oh, Jerry, you need to lose weight. And I said, well, Daddy, I lost 20 pounds. He said, you look like you weigh 300. And then I saw, you know, I thought, you know, I've overcome a lot. That didn't hurt my feelings, which in the years before I'd get my feelings hurt. But those are the areas that this is the land that has to be possessed. Now, God doesn't expose all these at one time. You couldn't take it. We all of us, including myself, have areas here that God wants to sanctify. He don't do it at one time. It takes a lifetime. But for example, if anger crops up, I say, okay, Lord, how'd that get there? And I deal with it, and then it looks like this. And then why is the discouragement, Lord? You give up your life, and then He makes it look like that. And see, these are doorways. This is the place the enemy can attack you. God lets the enemy attack you when He's ready to heal that area. But we don't know that sometime, and we get mad at... I said, God, if you've got a breach, God will send a turkey to keep pushing your button on that area. And it'll usually be the person that you live with or you love the most. I was telling somebody the other day whenever he said, well, you know, it just really bothers me. This here bothers me and that bothers me and people try to control me. And I said, it's because you were trained up to be controlled. And I said, ask the Lord to show you what He's trying to show you through that. So in these areas, go ahead, Diane, I think it's, just go ahead. Now, and because we didn't turn to God in our pain, we turn to a false god, and it's usually a vow we make. For example, if you grow up not being nurtured, you say, we don't know we can go to God, so we let the sun go down on our anger. Any place the parent provokes us to anger and doesn't train us up in the way we should go, we've got an automatic anger issue. And so instead of dealing with it God's way, say you're not nurtured, you make a promise, when I grow up, I'm going to find somebody who will nurture me or love me or accept me or value me or see how wonderful I am or communicate with me or help me or be there for me or hug me or kiss me. And we turn to these promises, these vows, which is false gods. In all these areas, there's false gods. Wherever you get your button pushed, there's a false god. Wherever you have fear, there's a false god. Wherever you have anger, in all these areas, there's anger, fear, hurt, depression, unforgiveness, torment, sickness. And it's all idolatry. Okay, the next one, Diane. Diane, you're doing great. Now, in all those areas where I don't go to God, I turn to a false god, and I'll stay wounded there. The minute I turn to God in my pain, that He heals the pain. He takes away the wound. He heals the hurt. You see, I have hurt there and woundedness in there because I didn't go to God. I turned to a false god, and wherever there's a false god, I'm wounded. Wherever there's a false god, I get my button pushed. Wherever there's a false god, I have fear. And so I've discovered that if I have fear or anger or any of those things, I say, okay, Lord, what was planted there? It's like you're a spiritual garden. And seeds have been planted. The word of God is seed, and words are seed. And so something has been planted here in your heart that's producing the fruit of the flesh, which is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. That's why I can be walking along, having a happy day, operating under the fruit of the Spirit, and somebody push my button and rain on my parade, and it's row if I'm explosive. Now, if you're not explosive, it goes like this. You can feel it going, and it'll stick right here. Because you don't want anyone to think that you would get your feelings hurt, which is pride. That's what I used to do. I'd get my feelings hurt and it'd stick right here. I wouldn't give you the satisfaction of knowing you hurt me. Pride goes before a fall. How do I know? I broke my foot. I did a word study. I didn't go to the doctor. Saved myself $1,000 at least. Just did a word study and foot slipped. And guess what I found out? Pride goes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. This foot, no problem, grew back straight, and I just let God's word heal me. Okay, so evil thoughts come out of the heart. Evil words come out of the heart. The heart is the unsanctified area. And, now if I had to say I'm not loved and I don't go to God, the next one, Diane. Then say, my parents don't love me. Let me go back up here. They don't love me, and I make a vow when I grow up, I'm going to find somebody who loves me and accepts me. I go to school and I get rejected. Nobody loves me. And the next one. Or maybe I have a girlfriend, a boyfriend, and they dump me. Or maybe I'm engaged and I get dumped. I get hurt. Hurt, hurt. You see, when I judge my parents, it sets in motion a reaping process. And if I don't deal with it, one more, it'll work out in my body as sickness. Okay? And then I go and I say somebody doesn't value me. Do the next one, Diane. And I say there's pain and then another. And let me say, if you go and do the world's route, then the things they do to you does more damage than if you just trusted God with it. Because chemo, for example, destroys your immune system, and you need that. Now, if you're not going to deal with the breaches, you might as well go to the world because you're going to die anyway. You've got to, if you want to get healed, whatever, you've got to deal with all of these issues of fear, bitterness, anger, hostility, unforgiveness. All of those things will make you sick. And we've all got issues. We've got things that we want to get healed. And you have to deal with the generational iniquities of the forefathers. Because if you weren't nurtured, probably your mother wasn't either. This is something my mother did that was good. I had a good mother, but she breastfed me till I was 2 years old. That's getting a little ridiculous. My daughter-in-law was nursing my granddaughter, and she bit her. She said, "The time you've grown up really quick. I think it's time to wean her." When she bites me. Okay, so 1 John 3:21 says, "If your conscience is clear, you have faith towards God." So in these areas, my conscience is not clear, and I can't have faith in the areas I have a breach because I don't have a clear conscience. It's all idolatry, and I'm defiled here. So if I want to have faith, it's impossible to have faith without having a clear conscience. First John 3:21, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. That word also means not only faith and trust in God, but it means freedom of speech. Have you noticed there's some people you have freedom of speech with and you can just tell them? There's other people that you hesitate. And I learned this when I was pastor. If I hesitate, it means that I don't have freedom of speech. Is that right? It means there's something here in me that is putting a block between me speaking the truth in love, because God tells me to speak the truth in love. And so that's how we ask in faith without doubting. Okay, some things. Faith purifies your soul, so when you get on the potter's wheel, faith purifies your soul. So what should we fear? We should fear God and not man. Fear of man comes in through being afraid of your mother and father or generationally. Just fear God, who's able to destroy both your body and your soul in hell. There's a true fear of the Lord that causes me to run and jump on the potter's wheel. And there's a demonic fear of God that says, God, I want to come, but I'm afraid of you. That's a demonic fear. But the fear of God that turns you away from evil is the good kind of fear. And you know you have it when you turn away from evil. Know that another promise is, did I do that? Okay, another promise is, some promises when we fear the Lord and turn away from evil, we'll have, Job said, is not your fear of God your confidence and the integrity of your ways your hope? And the enemy is outnumbered. You know, the story of Elisha when his servant said, the enemy's after us, and God opened the servant's eyes to see there were more with Elijah and his servant than it was than the enemy. And then God promises to take care of you if he takes care of the sparrows. And he clothes the lilies. God says, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And then he delivers you from death and keeps you alive and gives you provision during a famine. Jeremiah 15 says, the righteous will be flourish even in the times of famine. Psalms 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. And then Psalm 34 says the angel of the Lord will encamp about those who fear him. Those who fear the Lord will turn away from evil. And then Proverbs 19 promises you'll have peaceful sleep. The fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. So if you have a problem with sleep and you have a problem with insomnia, sometimes that comes in. We prayed for a young man this morning that couldn't sleep at night. His daddy would rape all the kids and abuse the kids and beat the kids. And you know what? People do evil at nighttime. So a little kid, especially if they grew up being abused or being molested or something bad happens at night, they make a vow, I'll stay awake and I'll protect myself. And so he couldn't sleep because that was the time his daddy did evil. Had a wicked daddy. Riches and honor and life are those that fear the Lord. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You know, sometimes you think, well, you know, God is more interested in our spiritual condition, being rich in the Spirit, and I'm not talking about the prideful rich in the Spirit, but he's more interested in our spiritual life than he is what we have. And he's with us, protecting us and strengthening us. Isaiah 41:10-14 said, don't fear, I'm with you. He says, do not anxiously look about you, for I'm the Lord, will strengthen you. Surely I'll help you. Surely I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then it says in Isaiah 43, river, fire, and flood will not harm you. He'll be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, you'll not be burned. And then your enemies will fall because of you. That's in Isaiah 54, 14 through 17, if you want to write that down. Fear is a curse. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Go to Leviticus 26, please. Leviticus 26, verse 14 says, "But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all of my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you." And of course, his covenant is fulfilled in the New Testament when we give up our life, when we walk in love. "And all of my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you sudden terror." Terror is, means overwhelming fear. "Consumption, which is a wasting lung disease and fever that shall waste away your eyes and cause your soul to pine away, and you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up." In other words, the further you go, the behinder you get. You never get anywhere. You never finish anything. You never accomplish anything. The best thing you can do if you're looking for deliverance is just get in the Word and start repenting over it. Sometimes people have got so many things wrong with them that they call me for prayer and want some kind of a prayer over the phone. And I don't know which, and I'm sure Diane and those of you in deliverance is the same way. Ada, you don't know where to get a grip on anything they say. I say, you just need to develop a relationship with God. Get alone with the Lord and start reading the Word and repenting over Scripture. Like the way I would repent over this Scripture. It said, "Lord, forgive me for breaking your covenant. Forgive me for rejecting your statutes and forgive me that my soul has abhorred your ordinances." Make it a prayer because he sent his word to heal you. And deliverance in a nutshell is give yourself to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. And so God turns you over to fear when you break his covenant. Deuteronomy 28 says, "Because you rebel against the voice of God and his commandments. You'll run when nobody's chasing you. And you'll be struck down by your enemies." I love this scripture in chapter 26 at verse 4. When you're in the blessing, the blessings of being in covenant is, in verse 5, "Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time, and you'll thus eat your food to the full and live securely in your land." Now, I'm claiming that in Jesus' name. And Jane has got a huge garden, and probably Diane does too. All of you who live in the country have a big garden. It says, and "I will grant peace to your land so that you may be laid down with no one making you tremble." Hallelujah. "I shall also eliminate harmful beasts," that's the demons, "from your land," your physical land. There's a world land, church land, your body's land. "And no sword will pass through your land." Hallelujah. "But you will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword." Now, in Isaiah, God says, "I have made your mouth like a sharp sword, and I have concealed you in the shadow of my hand, and I've made you like a sharp arrow, and I've hidden you in my quiver." So we need to speak the word. I don't believe we're supposed to use real weapons. I believe that's a good way to get yourself killed. You need to use the sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. "And 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall before you by the sword." Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And if we possess the gates of our enemies, that means they can't get in and out unless we let them. Okay, the next thing about fear is it stifles your fruit producing. It causes you to bury your talent. It keeps you from giving up your life. You know, if you have a fear of giving up your life, you're not going to do too good in front of a firing squad. We need to get that dealt with now, right? Because we can't ever turn our back on the Lord. And like God said, Jesus said, don't fear man that can kill your body. Fear God that can put both your body and your soul in hell. And fear is idolatry. Fear causes you to bury your talents, you know, in the talent of the Lord who left, and he gave 5 talents to one servant. He gave 2 talents to another servant. He gave 1 talent to another servant. And when he came back from his journey, the one he had given 5 to had 5 more for 10. The one he gave 2 to had 4 more for 4. The one that he'd given 1 to said, Lord, here, I give it back to you. He said, I saw you as a harsh, stern man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Fear causes you to shrink back. Fear keeps you from moving forward. In fact, the Bible says that the cowardly and the unbelieving will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So we have to deal with fear as a sin. It's just as much a sin as homosexuality and any other sin. And then fear of death. Hebrews 2 says that Jesus delivered us from the fear of death that subjects us to slavery our whole life. You know, it's the fear of death that causes me to run to the world for answers, and no man can fix you. Only God. The way I overcome fear is I just make a sacrifice. I give it up. And sometimes you might have to do that more than once because you didn't really mean it. There's been a few things I've had to do over and over. And I do the run into the roar now. And I'll just tell you about this. Bill Gothard teaches that old lions are toothless. And they what they do is, find the one that says run into the roar. An old lion is toothless. And what he does is he runs the prey into the woods, into the jungle, where the young lions are waiting there to get it. And so he with his roar, causes the prey to run into the woods. And then the young lions kill the prey. And then the old lion comes and gets a share of the spoil. So he's saying, don't run away from the roar. Do it the other way. One more time. You run to the roar is how you disarm fear. Don't run away. Run to it. Amen. So stand up and let's ask the Lord to show you. And so we want to get rid of fear. Lord, in Jesus' name, if everybody stand up, I ask you, Lord, to let me know the truth that sets me free. Lord, show me the fear in my life. I want it gone once and for all in the name of Jesus. I want to share this, and I shared it with some ladies earlier. The days we're living in, I'm not wishing I was dead, but I'm not afraid to die. If God wants to take me out of here, I don't have to deal with what's coming, which everybody says is going to be glorious, and I believe it will be. But I don't fear dying. Now, being tortured, I haven't got there yet. But anyway, but you know what? Stephen, when he was stoned, he didn't feel it. So God is, God, we just thank you. I ask you to point out all the areas of fear that you want to deal with. All the areas, let's just do anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. All the areas where you're holding on to your life. All the places where you get your button pushed and your parade rained on. All the things that make you angry and depress you and hurt you. You have to give up your children. You have to give up your finances. You have to give up your life. You have to give up your ministry. You have to give it all up to follow Him. You know, the song we were singing this morning, you're all I need, you're all I need. Jesus, you're all I need. Whenever that idol is gone, He will be all you need in that area. But as long as the idols are there, you think you need Jesus plus. But He is working in us so that we will not be falling down in a land of peace. If we can't run with the footmen, what are we going to do? In the thicket of the Jordan, we won't be able to run with the horsemen. And it's time to get our lives totally clean up before the Lord. We don't want to try to do it in the middle of the storm. It may be too late. So, Lord, I ask for the truth, pray with me, that makes me free. What do I need to repent of to get delivered from fear? In Jesus' name, I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you. What's been planted down there in your heart that's producing the fruit of fear. And then when you get through dealing with whatever the Lord shows you, then just sit down. Fear of dying, fear of man, fear of being sick, fear of whatever you're afraid of. Whatever you fear is what the idol is. If you fear rejection, the idol is rejection. If you fear not being loved, your idol is you've got to be loved. If you fear nobody will talk to you or notice you, the idol is you've got to be communicated with and noticed. If the idol is fear of rejection, if you have fear of rejection, the idol is I've got to be accepted. You got to lay those things down, because if Jesus was of no reputation, we can't make ourselves of any reputation. There's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, you will not be my disciple if you're not willing to take up your cross daily and follow me. That cross is any, Derek Prince says, your cross is any place your will crosses God's will. Just make an altar to the Lord. Say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me. And you know what? He's such a liar that if he's telling you you're fat, it's just the opposite. Or if he's telling, whatever he's telling you, just the opposite is true. I forgot to share that also fear is the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. It says in Romans 8:13, that would have put to death the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body. And it says, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. For we have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but we have received the spirit of fear whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So you're either wearing the yoke of Jesus through being submitted to God on the potter's wheel, or you're wearing a yoke of iron, because the yoke of iron is off the potter's wheel. It's rebellion, which is the sin of witchcraft. And all the clay figures, every one of them was in rebellion except the one that was on the potter's wheel. And see, Proverbs 17:11 says, a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, God also says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So I encourage y'all to keep coming to Lake Hamilton. Not that we have all the light, but you will get healing and deliverance every time you've come. And bring people with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for fear. Lord, I was afraid of my mother, father, step-parents. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me for listening to the news media and all these emails that put fear on me and not recognizing that that is the voice of Goliath speaking through the prince of the power of the air. Lord, forgive me for idolatry, the idolatry of wanting to be loved and nurtured and accepted, and the idolatry of wanting my husband to be a spiritual leader, the idolatry of wanting to be communicated with and hugged and kissed and wanting affection and wanting my husband to work. And forgive me for the idolatry of whatever. I lay it down. And Lord, I make an altar just like Abraham did Isaac. I take all these fears up the mountain. And Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? If you don't pray that unless you can really mean it. But you'll stay in bondage till you can pray it and mean it. Lord, I take it all up the mountain. I choose to give up my life that I might find it. But I tell you, devil, you cannot touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. I take my junky clay and I get up on the potter's wheel in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for listening to the devil. Forgive me for worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, striving, fretting, suing. Forgive me for trying to turn the potter's wheel. Forgive me for being afraid of you, God. Forgive me for thinking you're like my daddy, like my mother, that you're going to hurt me. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that you want me to do it myself. Forgive me for being legalistic and having a religious spirit. Forgive me for rebellion. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for letting the Antichrist spirit work in me. God, I ask you to heal the breaches of my heart. Forgive me for thinking I'm a loser. Forgive me for thinking that I dare not. Forgive me for thinking, let me read this. It says, if you think you're a loser, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you would like to win but think you can't, it's almost a sense you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a person's faith. It is all in the state of mind. Life's battles do not always go to the stronger or the faster hand. They go to the one who trusts in life and who keeps away, who always thinks he can. And when you fall off the potter's wheel, get back on. You're going to fall off, get back on. You fall off, get back on. And it's a process. And if you get slung off, crawl back on. Because, see, that's where faith is produced, when you give up your life. Then it's the character and nature of Jesus coming through your life. The resurrected life of the Lord Jesus, His nature, His character, when you give up your life. Lord, forgive me for holding up my own to my life. Pray with me. Forgive me for holding on to my life. Forgive me for fearing man. God, would you cleanse me by the blood of Jesus? Forgive me for not having the fear of God that causes me to run to you because I've been afraid of you. I forgive my mother and father that I was afraid of them. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me, Lord, for serving other masters besides you. Forgive me for being worried about my life as to what I'll eat and what I'll drink. And about my body, as to what I'll put on. Lord, forgive me for treating life like it's more than food. I'm sorry, is not life more? That treating food like it's more than life, and clothing more than my body. Forgive me for not looking at the birds, how you clothe them. Forgive me for being afraid of the days we're living in. God, forgive me for being afraid that I'm going to be killed. I want to say this. I hope nobody got the impression that I'm wishing I'm dead or I'm depressed. I'm not. But I just wanted to give you a different perspective to fear and dying. Don't fear death. It's just another perspective. If God wants to take you, if He wants to keep you here, if you're God's servant, your steps are ordered, and wherever you are, God orders it. That gives me great hope and confidence, and I believe that those that are overcoming are going to be essential in these last days to help a lot of people. I feel like I'm just now getting started, and I mean that with all my heart. I feel like that my ministry, you know what? Your ministry hadn't even started yet. It's going to happen in the thicket of the Jordan. That's where your ministry will really begin. Because there are going to be a lot of people that are going to help. You're going to help that thought they were saved but weren't. And Lord, forgive me for fear of death, fear of famine, fear that you're not going to protect me. God, forgive me for not having the fear of the Lord and turning away from evil so that I can sleep peaceful. Forgive me for trusting medication to put me to sleep instead of your word. This happened to me when my first husband left me. My body was in such trauma. My heart was so broke. I mean, back then I could have walked a mile and never had a sweat, not even a sweat drop. I was colder than nature. I'm telling you, my body was in such trauma that my gown was soaking wet and my hair was wet. And I'm telling you, have you ever been in such brokenness and such broken heart that your body's asleep, but you're awake? Have you ever been in that kind of torment? That's how it was, that I was in such torment. And one night I said, okay, devil, if you wake me up again, I'm going to put my Bible right here on the side of my nightstand. And every time you wake me up, I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with the Word of God. And that's what I said, those exact words. One time he woke me up, I got my Bible, started reading it, and never again has he woke me up. that will put you to sleep. See, he wants to wake you up to torment you. But can I tell you, if you use that time to get to know God and read His Word, He don't like that. He's defeated. And so, Lord, forgive me for not having humility and the fear of the Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for wearing the wrong yoke. I come unto You because I labor and I'm heavy laden, and You said You'll give me rest. I come and give up my life that I might find it. I present my body to You, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I just renounce the torment. Forgive me for bearing my talent and fearing death. Forgive me for fear of being tortured, fear of death. Thank You that my steps are ordered, because You said that a good man steps are ordered. Now, Lord, my clay's full of junk, but I didn't say this. The clay that was on the potter's wheel had the most junk, but he had a heart that said, God, I got to yield to You. God takes care of the mess when we yield our heart to Him. Amen? So in Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for anger and bitterness. I forgive my mother and father for all the things You've shown me. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger and turning to false gods. I forgive my forefathers for turning to false gods. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. We come against hurt and bitterness and anger and depression and self-pity. We come against unforgiveness and tormentors. We command You to go. We come against resentment and hate, anger, hostility, pride, arrogance, boastfulness. We command You to go in the name of Jesus. Praise You, Lord. We come against sickness. We come against cancer in the name of Jesus. We come against skin cancer, cancer of all forms, breast cancer in the name of Jesus. We come against infirmity in the name of Jesus. We come against arrogance and boastfulness and blindness. We come against macular degeneration of the eyes. We come against cataracts, glaucoma, eye disease. We come against blindness. We come against woundedness, and Lord, I bind up their broken hearts. I give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Lord, I just bring my grief to You with the sorrow that leads to repentance, and all the grief that's wasted away the eyes, leave now in Jesus' name. Praise You, mighty God. I want us to extend, honey, what is your name? Do you mind us all praying for you as a group? Huh? Let's pray for Sharon that God will heal her. We come against breast cancer in the name of Jesus. We come against lung cancer, breast cancer. In Jesus' name, we break your power. Lord, You said if any two agree upon anything is touching heaven or earth, it shall be done unto them. In Jesus' name. Have you been anointed with oil? Diane, come and let's anoint her with oil. Come up here and we'll anoint you with oil. Lord, You said we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You said if any among you are sick, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise up and heal the sick. And Lord, thank You that she's working this out. She's working out her salvation with fear and trembling. And Lord, we lay hands on her and we thank You that the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus is flowing through us. And we say, be healed, Sharon, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. God bless you. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.